Now that's a commencement speech. Commencement, definition, a beginning or start. Also, a ceremony in which degrees or diplomas are conferred on graduating students. 'Tis the season. Do we have any graduates in the house? Raise your hand. All right, two, three. Wonderful. Everybody congratulate them. And now congratulate yourself if you have sat through the joy of a four-hour commencement ceremony. Maybe you have gone to one this season or two or maybe more, but at some point you will go through a commencement ceremony, I hope. And do you remember anything from the speeches? I mean, sometimes you remember something, maybe who it was who made the speech. The best graduation speeches last the test of time, offering wisdom and insight. Some of the well-known graduation speeches of recent years include J.K. Rowling, the author of the Harry Potter series. She told Harvard's class of 2008 that it is impossible to live without failing at something. Unless you live so cautiously, you might as well not have lived at all, and in which case you have failed by default. Steve Jobs told Stanford University's class of 2005 that they needed to live each day as if it were their last. He had been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer a year earlier. Jobs said, "This mindset will make you understand the importance of your work, and the only way to do great work is to love what you do. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition." Well, there have been many great speeches, and more will come this season. Perhaps you remember something from your own? Maybe not the words exactly, as much as you remember how you felt. Thinking back to my graduation, I remember how we felt about how far we had come. Such pride, such joy, such anxiety about the future. Consider our current context. Can we relate to those feelings? Maybe we're not all graduating, but we can relate to that feeling of looking back at how far we have come and perhaps experiencing some anxiety about the future. We are the Easter people, gathered together here on this sixth Sunday of the Easter season. And I know for me it's good to get out of what's familiar and to venture out all the way from Los Altos to Campbell to see my sisters and brothers and how they are doing on this journey. And like my colleagues who have been here these Sundays before me, I come with a grieving heart for Reverend Kim, and I bring you expressions of love from the staff and the congregation of Los Altos United Methodist Church. And also, I bring you greetings from a colleague in your circuit, the Reverend Dr. Dale M. Weatherspoon, to whom I'm married, who said to me on the way out, be sure that you send them greetings from the Good Samaritan United Methodist Church as well, also from the circuit, and just to remind you all that we are praying for you. So you can tell them I did that, please. As Easter people, we grieve with hope. We seek to live each day in faith. And as people, we can resonate with what we heard in the scripture reading. I want to believe. I want to trust in you, O Christ. But I am afraid. Help my unbelief. In his speech to his disciples, which are usually referred to as part of his farewell discourse, but I prefer his commencement speech, Jesus reiterates his favorite theme, love. He promises the Holy Spirit and emphasizes that they're all in this together. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the believer. That's you and me. We're all in this together. And the main thing that people usually remember about a commencement speech is the advice. I mean, if it's really good advice, hopefully you'll remember it. Like Steve Jobs saying, live each day as if it were your last. But Jesus, being the commencement speaker, he gets to go beyond the advice, right? When he speaks, it's the commandment. And his advice about the commandments? Remember them. Remember to keep the commandment of love that I have given to you. Love one another and love God. For all the rest of the law and the prophets lie on that. Do not be afraid to let love and hope rule your lives. Place your trust in me. It's pretty wild to think that we would be afraid to let love and hope rule in our lives, but Jesus must know something about us to be able to say to that, to speak to that fear of completely trusting and allowing love and hope to rule in our lives. But bam, there it is. It's clear, there's the advice, there's the nugget of wisdom to get from that speech. What else could you possibly need? I can just imagine, what would it be like to have Jesus speak at your graduation? Can you just see him there? Can you imagine yourself how you would feel? I can. Putting on my little cap, listening to Jesus speaking. I am more than ready. Yes, Jesus, I hear you, Jesus. Whoop! I'm ready to toss my hat up into the air. Turn the tassel to the other side. I'm in. I'm with you. I'm following you all the way. I'm ready to grab that degree and change the world. But there's more to it than just to get it. To get it, I have to go for it. I have to listen and wait. There's more. I have to understand that there are going to be tough times ahead. And I have to be willing to face the pressure to succeed. But what is success? How do I know if I've succeeded? I think when I start asking those questions, I do want to take off the hat, go back and say, I'm not ready. Don't send me out there. I don't know what it means. There was a Nobel Peace Prize winner named Isadora Rabi who arrived home after school, and his mother would talk to him about his school day. Every day she would ask him, Isadora, did you ask a good question today? Rabi concluded that it was the ability to ask the good questions that gave him the passion to become a scientist. So what good question can I ask you to know how you are doing on the journey of life? Should I ask you, how's your bank account? Should I ask you the address of your house or perhaps your vacation home or any other home that you may have? Perhaps I should ask you what you're driving these days. Don't these seem like these are the questions that people ask about success? Our Christian journey is filled with many challenges, and it would be wise to ask ourselves some tough questions. There is a defining question that John Wesley, a founding father of the Methodist movement, always asked of his friends and fellow Christians. How is it with your soul? Or how goes it with your soul? The author, writer, C.S. Lewis wrote, you don't have a soul. You are a soul. You have a body. Well, we're often too busy to pay much attention to either one of those. I mean, we get the aches and pains, so we may know what's going on with our body, but we get the aches and pains to tell us what's going on with our soul too. But which one are we most likely to talk about? Yes, even in church, yes. We're most likely to talk about the aches and pains of our body before we're vulnerable enough to talk about the aches and pains of our soul. As a matter of fact, I'm more likely to tell you how I think your soul's doing than I am to tell you about my own. It can be tough work to look within. But here's the thing. We don't walk alone. Remember the readers, the scripture? It was a conversation. We are disciples on a journey. This is the method of Methodism, the small group, and how important it is to have someone to turn to, how important it is to have a hand and a heart to guide you. This season, as Easter people, we can embrace this opportunity for transformation one day at a time. We are an Easter people called Methodists, called to love God and each other. And we all know the struggle that we have as United Methodists. We know that as a church, we can't do this love God and love each other at the same time when we are an obstacle for the lesbian, gay, transgender, queer, and intersex community. We live in this abundant, overflowing love of God when we are empowered to address issues of inequality and advocate for justice such as a living wage or comprehensive immigration reform. With trust in God, who is love, we are empowered to name the sin of the economic gap, the sin of greed, and of the earth's destruction, and empowered to be the church who speaks when there are moments of devastating gun violence, and our hearts are with the families, the friends, the community of the university in Santa Barbara. When we wait upon the Lord, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, well, as the bishop who ordained me used to say, "Help me, Holy Ghost," a movement is born, and the critics organize to destroy it. It's just how it was, it's how it is, it's how it's going to be. But we always can come back to that commencement speech. Do not be afraid to let love and hope rule in your life. Place your lives in trust with me. There it is again. So if you are graduating, or if you're just asking that question, what am I going to do with my life? Sometimes it's about what I'm not going to do. I am not going to be afraid. For today, I am not going to be afraid to let love and hope rule my life. What do you think? Does that sound like a good plan? You agree? You think it's one that maybe you'd like to embrace? I mean, think about it in this moment, as we all know, when we go through moments of grief. So many times the people will say to us, let that loss, that death not be in vain. Live your life so that others may see that a difference was made because of that person's life. And so I say to you today, with this news that is just coming to our attention about the shooting at the University of California, Santa Barbara, to think about those students who will not be able to know what commencement means. How will we live our lives in such a way that we claim the commencement? We claim to live our lives with this hope and this trust. You know the thing about graduating? Is they call you by name. They call you by name. So the thing is, you have to be able to apply what you learn. And this isn't just a Sunday morning thing, this is 24/7. So since they call you by name, and I don't know everybody's name here yet, I'm gonna ask you to help me. Will you do that for me? I'm going to ask you what your name is. And you're going to tell me your name in a full sentence. That means you say, my name is, and you say your name. So I'll show you what I mean. Ellen, ask me what my name is. My name is Debbie Weatherspoon. Got it? Okay. So here it goes. Please, all of you answer together, so it's going to sound really crazy. I'm going to ask you now, what is your name? Very good. Would you now continue to repeat after me? And for today, I am not going to be afraid. To let love and hope rule my life. All right, very good. Now, let's try and do it all together. After I say, my name is Debbie Weatherspoon, you say, my name is, but don't say Debbie Weatherspoon. Although I could use that extra. My name is Debbie Weatherspoon. And for today, I am not going to be afraid to let love and hope rule my life. Awesome, good job. And just when we thought it was pretty fantastic having a resurrected Savior, that same Savior has pleaded on our behalf to the Creator of the universe to send us an advocate, the Spirit of Truth, to accompany us. An advocate who will come alongside us, one who is on our side to live this life of love and hope. So it's not just, okay, that was great to say it, but how am I going to live it? Well, you don't live it alone. You live it by the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And so this is what we have to do, to live this alternative model. When all the world has gone crazy, when violence seems to become the rule of the day, we will not allow it to be the rule of our hearts. We will not allow it to be the rule of who we are as a people. We will claim love and we will win by love. And so we have to listen and we have to wait upon the Lord. And that listening part, that waiting, that's where the rubber meets the road. That's the tough stuff. That's where we get impatient. That's where we start finding these alternatives. That's where we start losing our faith and we start giving up on that trust. But we have to listen. We have to wait. Can you remember the last time you were listened to? I remember one from a long time ago. When I went in the office to meet with a professor, and I don't know if you've had that experience, and I don't know if you are professors here, but your office is usually a mess, and there are papers all over the place, and I went and sat down, and usually they're so busy, and I just wanted to ask a question about something, and the professor was saying, okay, how's it going? How's everything going? You know, shuffling papers, and I said, oh, it's fine, you know, just thinking I only have this much time, and then he pushed the papers aside, put his hands on the desk, folded his hands together, turned his body so that he was facing me, and said, no, really, how are you doing? And I felt the hairs on the back of my neck stand up, because he might as well have been asking, how is it with your soul? So we need to stop, look, and listen. Ask that question. Wait upon the Lord for that answer. Imagine doing that for yourself. Imagine doing that for the world. Because it all begins with you. So let us wait upon the Lord. And then let us commence. Amen. Will you pray with me, please? Sweet Holy Spirit, rule in our lives with love and hope. Let it be that we would be your people to witness to this possibility. Our hearts are broken. Our hearts are open. Let your healing begin. We claim this in Jesus' name. Amen.